This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right, back on the Jeff Dawkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's Blue Canadian Rockies by the Byrds from their classic 1968 country rock album, Sweetheart of the Rodeo, in honor of the Grizzlies in the Great White North tonight.
Have you been to Canada?
Yeah, I've been to Toronto, but that was a long time ago. And we were in Montreal last summer, the summer before. I don't know, sometime recently.
Yeah, you had a good time. I recall you gave high marks to Montreal.
Yep.
You know, not that Montreal needs your high marks, but nice still.
I'd like to get back to Toronto sometime.
This morning we already had a deal, Chris Middleton and pieces for Kyle Kuzma and pieces. Your thoughts?
Yeah. The two parts of that I don't know quite all the details on, I guess I mostly knew all the financial details. I'm not sure what exactly the pick swap is, but basically it's a deal where Milwaukee cuts money. I think they get under the second apron while getting a healthier player, a player who they think can help them more right now, and a team trying to win right now, and Kyle Kuzma, who's healthier, gives them a little bit more, I think, lineup flexibility. They can play easier to play small with Giannis at center. They didn't really have a good power forward to play in those lineups, and Kuzma can also play the three probably in their starting lineup. So they do it to make themselves both better right now and cheaper right now at the same time. In doing so, they take on more long-term money, and Kuzma has two more years on his deal, whereas Middleton only has one. And then from the Wizards' perspective, as a rebuilding team, they cut the long-term money. They get off the money a year earlier, and they get some draft assets along the way. And so you can sort of see the rationale for both teams in that one.
All right. Grizzlies have been mentioned in connection with Lonzo Ball, just a report. And I think you mentioned Lonzo Ball in your trade column. What would you think of a deal involving Lonzo Ball?
Yeah, so I mentioned the Ball. Ball was one of the names I mentioned in the thing I wrote last week. I have another sort of trade deadline rumor thing today that went up about 20 minutes ago, and I deal with what we're about to talk about, so you could read more about that and other things there. But I mentioned Ball not with any inkling of the Grizzlies' interest, just because I was gaming out like different paths they could take and what might make sense. And I mentioned Ball in the context of what I called the Marcus Smart escape hatch trade, meaning if you just decide, okay, let's hit the eject button on this. And so there's two things out there. One, the Michael Scotto of Hoops Hype mentioned the Grizzlies. This is not a strong rumor. He just mentioned the Grizzlies among like a handful of other teams who have inquired about Lonzo Ball. And then separate from that, Casey Johnson, who's a reporter in Chicago, put out something on social media. He didn't mention the Grizzlies, but he said for the Bulls to get draft assets in exchange for Ball's expiring contract, that would mean taking on long-term money. So you put those two things together, and it basically matches up with what I wrote about last week, which is the idea that if the Grizzlies had nothing else to do with Marcus Smart in terms of a bigger deal and decided they just wanted to get off his contract next year, they'd sort of lost belief in that concept. What are trades they could do that would just like make the contract go poof? And to me, that the idea is that would be Marcus Smart and some kind of draft asset, maybe the 2025 first, for a player on an expiring contract who could also maybe help them this season. And Lonzo Ball sort of was one of the two players who I thought best fit that idea. And so if the Grizzlies did something there like that, it would be less about Lonzo Ball and more about getting off next season's Marcus Smart contract. But in the context of doing so, you would get a guy who is back to playing basketball, is playing pretty well for the most part, And, you know, there's a chance he could help you more than Marcus Smart the rest of the way. I think the upside of Lonzo Ball is lower than the upside of Marcus Smart. But, like, one of those guys has played more basketball the last 3 weeks than the other, and it's not Marcus Smart, you know?
That would be a – basically, you having paid two – again, the deal is done. Your deal for Mark, you paid two first to get Marcus Smart and then another first to make Marcus Smart go away.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't be an ideal situation. But and I don't know if the Grizzlies are there. This is a total speculation thing.
Right.
100%. But to me, it is the primary thing to speculate about the Grizzlies right now, a day out from the deadline, is where are they at with the Marcus Smart thing? Did they still believe that he is going to play basketball and help them in a playoff context, which is the reason they traded for him? And that concept has not failed because they have not played playoff basketball since they've traded for Marcus Smart. He has been moved to questionable for tonight. He seems on the verge of return. Do they still believe in that idea or do they not? And to me, that is the biggest question around the Grizzlies right now at the deadline. And I don't know the answer to it.
Right. And he could be dealt in either the escape hatch sort of deal that you just described, or as matching money for in a larger deal, right?
That's right. Like there are multiple ways he could be involved. Obviously, you know, the stuff that's more fun to talk about, the Jimmy Butler and the Cam Johnson and that kind of stuff, Smart would either definitely or likely be involved in those kind of trades. But that is not the kind of trade where your first goal is to trade Marcus Smart. That is just a byproduct of making trades work.
On the Lonzo Ball one, where would he fit? What role do you think Lonzo Ball, were he to become a Grizzly, would play?
The important thing to note, and I've seen people sort of respond on social media and sort of not, and as a fan, your first thought is not contracts, right? Your first thought is basketball, so it's understandable. But the thing to keep in mind about that is that the first thing would be the contracts, not the basketball. And so where he fits is sort of secondary to the fact that his contract expires. But in terms of where he fits, like, he would give them another ball handler. This is a team that's had all kinds of turnover problems this season, obviously. It's a team that has sort of been uncertain in how they're going to navigate the minutes where Ja Morant doesn't play in the playoffs, but also, like, Ja Morant doesn't play a lot in the regular season. You know, they've had Scottie Pippen in that, who's been up and down. He's been great, like, on ball defensively, but has been erratic as a playmaker. You know, they've leaned into Luke Kennard, and that's gone pretty well, I would think, I think. Lonzo Ball is more of a point guard than either of those people in terms of a real playmaker. And so if you look at the way he's played since he's come back, he missed two full seasons to injury, but he's back. He's been playing regular minutes lately. He cannot get to the rim, and when he gets there, he can't finish. But guess what? You could say the same thing about Marcus Smart. He shot okay from three, not great. You can say the same thing about Marcus Smart. Defensively, he's been pretty disruptive. Like, he's still right. I haven't really had a chance to watch him play, so I can't get beyond the stats too much. But his steal rates are high. His block rates are high. He seems like he's been disruptive defensively. The playmaking stuff's there. He's a better passer than Smart. So there's a chance that he would be in the rotation as a backup point guard. It just depends on how well he could play. So it'd be a thing where if they did that, I think it would be primarily a contract thing. But it would be that in the form of a player who might play a meaningful role, and a guy who, like, you know, there's you would get a look at him to think about re-signing him to a smaller contract next summer. And so you wouldn't have the obligation on the salary, but you would also have the, you know, ability if you think he would fit as a backup point guard, which he might.
Some are offended. Well, Scottie Pippen's been good, and he's been okay. Like, he's been good in spots, right? I think you would rather have Lonzo Ball as your backup point guard than Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, no, I think it's debatable. Scottie Pippen has been – there have been some games where he's been great. Like, he was great the other night.
Right, the other night, yep.
He had a 30-point game as a starter earlier this season when Ja was out. But he's been erratic as a playmaker. His turnover rate is high. The offense, you know, doesn't always hum when he's at the controls of it. But he's got utility, you know, as a defender. And I think there's room for both of those guys on a roster, just like right now there's room for Scottie Pippen and Marcus Smart on a roster. And so, you know, you would have the ability to play different guys based on the situation, based on who's playing well. I don't think Scottie Pippen is a sure thing to be in the playoff rotation for the Grizzlies at all. I don't think Lonzo Ball would either, but, you know, they would both be options.
Okay. Speaking of options, we do have the return of Marcus Smart, I presume, and Vince Williams Jr. tonight. Both are questionable.
Yep.
They've been upgraded to questionable. And typically when you're elevated to questionable, that means you will play. And so I don't know. It certainly adds intrigue to a game against the Raptors tonight. What do you expect?
I've been waiting for just Vince Williams to play again, so I welcome that at any opportunity. The Marcus Smart thing, the timing is quite intriguing, right? It's sort of like you know, if you what's the over under on the number of games he continues so he plays in a Grizzlies uniform? Like it might be one. You might get one tonight. You know, will you get one after that? I think his return on the eve of the deadline is I think not intentional in the slightest. It's just sort of the way it happened, but it's pretty intriguing. I am not as fully out on Marcus Smart as I think a lot of observers, Grizzlies fans and observers are. I think he, when he has played, he has been a plus defensively and a pretty big plus defensively. I think people have seen like the offense has been a little all over the place. That's for sure. And he just hasn't played much. But I do think like the upside of Marcus Smart as a playoff performer is higher than anyone you're going to trade him for straight up. Like I do think that's probably the case. And so I'm not quite as out on him, but I just wonder about the Grizzlies wanting to be to have that contract on their books going into the summer.
I don't know. Do you have any expectation that they will make a deal or not make a deal one way or another?
I think there's a better chance than there was last year or the year before that they do nothing. I think the odds of doing nothing are higher than they've been in a couple seasons because the team is so good and because there's not an obvious thing to do. And so I think there's a chance they do nothing, and I think that's perfectly fine. I don't think there's a huge need to make a deal to be making a deal because people like deals. That said, I think Zach Kleiman does have a history of like finding stuff to do, both at the deadline and during the offseason. Like even if it's little stuff, he sort of tends to find stuff to do. And so there's little stuff out there that could happen, right? Like you could decide with Gigi Jackson back, Jake LaRavia is probably a guy you're not bringing back next season. You could just look to move him and get something, even if it's like a second round pick or whatever. You could, in addition to attaching some draft assets to get off Marcus Smart's salary, if you decided you didn't want to do that, you could also do that with John Conchar's salary, which is smaller but goes out two more years. So that's a thing they could do. And so I think there's a chance they find some little something to do. There's a chance they find a medium something to do. I'd be surprised if they found a major something to do, you know, the Jimmy Butler, Cam Johnson kind of deals we talk about, or something out of the blue, which we now all know can happen in the NBA, like out of the blue can happen. That kind of stuff would surprise me, but wouldn't necessarily shock me. And so we'll see. It could be an interesting next 24 hours or so.
The name that was that you mentioned in your most recent trade column that we haven't really talked about, and now is being the name is being widely connected with all sorts of places, is DeAndre Hunter from the Hawks. What would be the logic there? Take me through a DeAndre Hunter deal.
So DeAndre Hunter is someone I contemplated when I wrote the first trade piece I did like more than a month ago. And I mentioned him. His name appears in that piece, but it appears in passing as here's a list of guys I thought about and determined there's not a there. And at the time, I determined there wasn't a there because the Hawks were right in the thick of things. And they still are in the standings, but their second-best player, Jalen Johnson, is now out for the season. I think the Hawks are much more likely to entertain being a seller than a buyer at the deadline now, and that's why I've looked at them a little bit more. DeAndre Hunter is also not starting for them. He's been one of the best six men in the league, but they have younger players on longer contracts in Dyson Daniels and Zachary Richichet that are probably like going to have those spots. So I think they might be willing to move DeAndre Hunter. He's having a really good season, one of the most improved players in the league. He is a veteran, but like a young veteran, like 27, 28, something like that. Sort of 3-and-D wing who's scoring better this season than he ever has before. That's the kind of player, it's not totally dissimilar to a Cam Johnson kind of player that we've been talking about the Grizzlies maybe wanting to add. I think the problem from the Grizzlies' perspective is that his contract has two more years after this one, which means it would overlap with the next Jaren Jackson Jr. contract. And as they game out their money going forward, do you really want DeAndre Hunter making 20-something million 3 years from now when you've got Jalen Wells and Gigi Jackson and Vince Williams Jr. and all those guys who could be in line to soak up those minutes on the cheap, you know?
And then looking around the league, what do you make of the Kevin Durant conversation that seems to be done?
There's an awful lot of smoke that suddenly emerged on that from lots of places. And like, you know, you could say like it's silly, it's trade deadline week and people want to get excited about potential trades. And so like lots of stuff gets out there because people want to sort of will things into existence and get excited about things and get people to listen and click and blah, blah, blah. But there's enough smoke from enough different places and enough, like Brian Windhorst is one of the people who's like sort of blowing that smoke. And like, I think Windhorst is reporting is maybe the most solid of anyone in the league. So I take that very seriously. But it's hard to know, like, I mean, the Suns have been so focused that seemingly this is all like we're not in the offices. We're sort of believing what we read or interpreting what we read. So who knows? But they seem to be so focused lately on trying to trade for Jimmy Butler. It would seem to be like if they didn't trade for Jimmy Butler and instead sent away Kevin Durant, that would seem to be a pretty hard turn from that, because the idea, I think, has been to try to add Jimmy Butler to Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. I mean, you don't know to what degree Kevin Durant factors into that. He has two more years on the contract this season and next season for like $50 million. He is still great when he plays. Like he has been MVP level good. He's missed some games, but he's still great. I don't know, man. I don't know what to think about it. I'm skeptical of some of the destinations people have thrown up. Like there's been people reporting about, you know, it's been Nico Harrison's dream to add Kevin Durant to Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving, and I've looked at the books, and I don't see that happening. The Golden State thing, that would not surprise me, though. I think there's a much more reasonable deal to be constructed with Golden State than there would be with Dallas.
And what would the Golden State thing look like?
It would look like this. I mean, the Kevin Durant salary and the Jimmy Butler salary is not that different. So Durant's like $3 or $4 million more. So the construction could be similar, but then you add like better stuff to it a little bit because it's Kevin Durant. So like Andrew Wiggins gets you more than halfway there on a contract match. And from there, like the Warriors have so many players, it's easy just to get to the contract match. You throw in Gary Payton or Kevon Looney or whoever, right? You can get to the contract match. The question is what value-wise the Suns would want, right? And so is that, you know, Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, Brandon Podziemski, they're young players still on sort of smaller contracts? Is it draft picks? Like, I can't imagine, like, you know, I don't think Draymond Green is involved in that trade or whatever. But if the Suns, you know, wanted to break it up into, you know, two or three good players and then get, like, young players draft picks, they could do that. But I don't really quite get that from a Suns perspective. Their whole thing is, like, we don't care about the future. We want to win now. And I don't think there's a Kevin Durant trade they could make that makes them better. So it's a tough spot.
No, I thought in reading some of it that part of the logic was Bradley Beal won't waive.
Right.
So the only way we can get Jimmy Butler is getting rid of Kevin Durant, which seemed nonsensical.
But yeah, this is my point. Like, why would you want to get rid of Kevin Durant to get Jimmy Butler? Like, who wants to do that? Right. Maybe the Suns do. Maybe they're smitten by Jimmy Butler for some strange reason, to the degree that you would get rid of Kevin Durant, who's yes, older, but like not that much older and just way better. So I don't quite get it.
Your piece on the weekend film, What's in Memphis Theaters, is up at the Daily Memphian. We've got another Oscar nominated film now available locally.
Yeah, the last of the bunch of the 10 movies nominated for Best Picture, the last one to arrive in Memphis theaters arrives this week. It's called I'm Still Here. It was a surprise nominee. It's a Brazilian film, foreign language film. It got a Best Picture nomination. More predictably, got a Best International or foreign language, however they do the wording for the Oscars nomination. Also got a Best Actress nomination. I've not seen it. It's the only Best Picture nominee I've not seen. It's a drama, sort of a political drama about a Brazilian family in the 70s where this military dictatorship has come in and they sort of, I think, abduct. I haven't seen the movie, but they sort of abduct the man of the father of the family who is a political dissident. And it's about his wife, you know, carrying on their family amid sort of this political upheaval. It's supposed to be good, but I haven't seen it. But the other thing opening is this documentary, Becoming Led Zeppelin, which is advertised as the first authorized documentary, which I think could mean both good things and bad things. I don't think you're going to get the unvarnished portrait, but you're probably going to get some great footage and some great sound and some great, you know, interviews with the living band members. And you're going to get to hear and see Led Zeppelin like in a movie theater with like movie theater sound. And so I probably should be a good time.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
You can read Chris's stuff over at the Daily Memphian, of course, and follow him on your social media channels. I think he's mostly at Blue Sky these days, although he posts occasionally on Twitter or X as well. So read Chris at the Daily Memphian. We got Sam Hardiman from the Daily Memphian coming next. He has had a busy week writing about XAI, but then also the Grizzlies came up because the FedEx Forum came up. discussions in front of the city council yesterday. So we'll talk to Sam about progress on FedEx Forum, about the state of the lease, about all of that when we return. Before then, I will remind you that Leaders Credit Union has a new branch open in Arlington. Full-service financial institution, offers checking accounts, savings accounts, personal loans, vehicle loans, mortgages, all of it. It's 5500 Airline Road, right across from Arlington High School. I've been to the new to the branch in Bartlett, but they have a brand new branch open in Arlington. I'm a big believer in Leaders Credit Union for whatever your financial needs are. And the other thing, by the way, they do have, they have financial wellness counseling for free. That's another thing they offer, just one of the other things that they offer at Leaders. To learn more, go to leaderscu.com/ESPN. Sam Hardiman, when we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, this would be a great time to get into Old Call because the fall and winter semi-annual sale is here's at the stage. They get the stage every year where they go and they consolidate their Nashville and Memphis stores. They got the fall and winter merchandise, and there are savings up to 70% throughout the store. That is the moment we have reached at O'Call. It also means, by the way, that spring is about to arrive, and that's glorious too at O'Call. But again, best savings of the year at O'Call, semi-annual sale, fall and winter, men's and women's merchandise. So take advantage of it and get to O'Call this week. Joined now by Sam Hardiman from the Daily Memphian, and he's been extraordinarily busy, has Sam. He's always busy, but writing about all sorts of things of interest to us on Twitter or X, although not particularly active on Twitter or X lately. Sam Hardiman. And before we get to anything else, Sam, I did have the news this morning that I read in the Daily Memphian about the new flights, the new direct flights from Memphis. People are very excited. Memphis to Tampa, Memphis to Raleigh-Durham, and Memphis to Providence on Breeze Airline. Breeze Airway, Breeze Airline, Breeze Airline. And you, of course, I asked Jeffrey where he would most like to fly of those three destinations, and he immediately said Tampa, thereby ignoring the obvious answer, Providence, which is your hometown. Will you be getting this flight? Will you be getting on this direct flight to Providence anytime in the near future?
I wouldn't say the near future, but we're certainly investigating here in the Hardiman household. We're doing our research, our internet research, and we are going to I'll let everyone know. That might be the next time I post on X is when I board Breeze Airlines to Providence.
What have you learned anything about Breeze, and do you feel any squeamishness about getting on, you know, the new the not your legacy carriers?
I do feel squeamishness. This is like Breeze, you know, launched in Providence, I think last year. So like I read Rhode Island media, so I've read a good deal about it. This isn't anything on Breeze, but like one time, and I'm going to leave this buddy's name out of it so he doesn't catch this stray. But essentially, you know, I had a connecting, I was in Vegas with some buddies on a guy's trip, and I had a connecting flight. I forget from where, from Vegas to here. Okay. I had to make a connection. And my buddy was flying from Chicago. Flew Allegiant, I believe it was, and he was talking trash the entire way. We shared an Uber to the airport. It's like, I can't believe you have a connection. I can't believe you have a connection. And I was like, all right, fine, whatever. You know, I was just ready to get out of Vegas at this point anyway. And then he texts me about like 30 minutes after we separate, getting through security, say goodbyes, hug, et cetera. And he goes, my flight was canceled. And so like, I just felt it was karma. Like I just texted back the word karma. Like that's all I said. I didn't even say sorry. He had to stay in Vegas for another night, which, you know, can be dicey. And so, yeah, I'm a little squeamish, but I will give Breeze a shot just because it might take me home.
All right. And by the way, while you're here, you want to say a word on behalf of Providence? How is Providence? How's it doing? How is Providence faring?
Providence is doing okay. I'm just going to speak for Rhode Island. I'm not, you know, Providence. I'm from the woods of Rhode Island, the sticks, as some would call it. You know, people from Providence might not even know that my hometown exists. That's how small it is. But just shout out Rhode Island. And yeah, it's a great place.
Okay. All right, moving right along. Let's start with FedEx Forum, because that's of primary interest to Sports Talk listeners. There was news that you wrote about in the Daily Memphian involving FedEx Forum. Yeah, I'll leave it open. What's happening?
Yeah, so, you know, first yesterday, we'll just get to the real news, and then we'll get into kind of the inside baseball, is, you know, Mayor Paul Young, for really the first time in a year, you know, anyone publicly had given anyone an update on FedEx Forum and said, hey, this is where we are. And so the mayor came to Memphis City Council and said, hey, of the $230 million in state of Tennessee cash that is allocated for FedEx Forum, that was allocated at the end of 2023 for FedEx Forum, that's how long this has been, okay, we're about to spend $80 million of it. And it's going to be on largely deferred maintenance, but it's also going to pay for some architecture work. For the broader renovations of FedEx Forum. And so this is cash. This is cash the state of Tennessee has wired over to a city of Memphis bank account. And so that's what's this first, and this is being, you know, considered the first phase of $550 million in renovations. We've talked a lot on this program about that $550 million figure. This is the first time a public official openly said, yeah, it's $550 million. That's what's going to happen to FedEx Forum. So that's what happened yesterday. The mayor also revealed, and this is, I think, interesting, and again, this is stuff we had reported at the Daily Memphian, but this is the first time a public official has said it publicly, and that is, this is going to happen in phases. This renovation is going to happen both in phases in terms of the work being done at the arena, because you have to continue playing basketball at this NBA arena and this NCAA college basketball arena, and also the financing of this, which is, I think, much more actually relevant to taxpayers and to the people listening to this program, is how this is going to get paid for, not because they care, but because it's what affects them the most. And the city is not going to go out for one big bond issuance and get $550 million and just throw it at this project. Instead, the city and county seem to be doing this, you know, not piecemeal approach, but this phased approach of, we're going to spend bit by bit on these projects, and this thing could last until 2032. The interesting thing about a FedEx Forum renovations lasting until 2032 is that implies, and this gets to what the mayor said next, that the Grizzlies are here past 2029. Their current lease at the arena expires at the end of the 28-29 NBA season. And obviously the Grizzlies have made no noise at all on any of this, but they haven't made noise about leaving. But the mayor said yesterday he hopes to be back with the city council. He probably doesn't have to come to the city council, but others may have to go to elected bodies, with a lease by midsummer. And so this is also, for the first time, a Memphis public official giving a real timeline on when a lease with the Grizzlies will be completed.
Yeah, the quote, just so people can have it exactly, this is from Sam's story today, or went up yesterday, I guess. We absolutely are working towards getting to a full lease in order to get to the full lease and to issue bonds. We have to have detailed drawings so we can get firm construction estimates. This is a part of this next phase of the process. We expect to be able to get to a lease by the end of the summer, at least. That's the target we're working towards. Is it unusual at all? Like, they are spending now $80 million, and I guess the $80 million is from the $230 million in cash, I think, that came from the state.
Yes,
is that
right.
Where the $80
million? That's right, yes.
Is it unusual? Because now you're spending the money on the renovations before you have the lease. And at least, you know, to guarantee that they'll be here to help support and justify the renovations. Is that unusual?
Yeah,
does it speak to the confidence that they have that there will be a lease?
I would go to the latter, Jeff, that it speaks to the confidence, but also, you know, this is to point out here, this is $80 million in cash, right? So this is cash in hand, and this is cash that's not coming from city of Memphis taxpayers. It's coming from state of Tennessee taxpayers. 7 million people are paying for it, not just 630,000. So this is cash. You're not issuing debt. Okay. So like, first of all, like you're not incurring a future obligation, all right? You're not putting anything on a credit card here. You're taking out the debit card and you're paying for this. And so that's really important here. A, it speaks to the confidence, I think, that you see from the city administration and elsewhere that a lease is going to get done. And I would put probably pretty good odds that it probably does get done, just from in my informed, you know, reporting and informed speculation here. But also, it's just, this is stuff, and, you know, we broke the news that this $80 million was coming up last week at the Daily Memphian because the Grizzlies have quietly been taking city officials and county officials on tours of
yeah, I was gonna ask you
to tell them what was going on.
And so they've been doing this. I want to interrupt you real quick. On that story, they're taking them two by two through tours. To what end? What was this? This was late last week. You had this story in the Daily Memphian.
Yeah. So, yeah, we reported this late last week that, you know, two by two, one county commissioner, one city council person, there are 13 of each. Okay. So 26 potential pairs. I'm not sure that all 26 ended up attending this, but this is essentially to not invoke the Tennessee Open Meetings Act. Because if it is a non-chance meeting of two members of the same elected body, you start to get into, is it a public meeting? Okay, if it is not a chance meeting like two people running into each other at a grocery store, right? And so one each of each elected body, though each are involved in this because the county and the city own the building, does not have the same open meetings requirements. And so you're trying to do this pretty quietly. And what the Grizzlies were showing people, and this is according to people familiar with the matter, is the work that's going to get done. We're talking about replacing chillers here. Okay, we're talking some box office stuff. Literally, the box office is getting fixed up. The officials' locker room. Like, this is what they were showing them, right? And so this is all stuff that, as you broader renovate, you don't want to replace again. Like, if you're going to spend more money on this, you don't want to go do chillers twice. But this is all, and this, according to people familiar with the matter, this is all deferred maintenance under the original lease that the Grizzlies are operating under right now. The city and county, when the Grizzlies agreed to come here and the city and county, you know, agreed to build them this arena, they also agreed for operating expenses, essentially for maintenance expenses. And they've never really funded that. It's been sort of an unfunded mandate, so to speak. There have been times where there's been some tax out money allocated. But so this $80 million bucks is also just sort of stuff you have to do to fix up the existing forum, which regardless if the Grizzlies are in it or not, is going to be the city and county's asset going forward. Right. So if things go really haywire, and I don't expect they will, but if things go really haywire and this all doesn't work out and it turns into a sad story for Memphis, Tennessee, you've done $80 million of work that you didn't put on the credit card, but you paid for with the debit card. That's the risk here.
And it does highlight that the $550 million isn't actually new obligation, new money, you know, whatever. It's at least a chunk of it, maybe $80 million, as much as $80 million. Is to do things that they should have been doing all along, that they were obligated under the original lease to do all along. Is that right?
Right. It's exactly. It's just showing you that this isn't like, oh, here's a $500 million to, you know, a team owned by a billionaire. It is more of, okay, maybe it's a third of $1 billion or something like that. That is new money that it was for new sort of work to the arena.
Were they asking for anything yesterday? Like, was there was a reason that yesterday was the first day they talked about it? Is because they had to go and ask for something, right? What were they asking?
So what they're asking for is at the next meeting, the city council just appropriate this money. The city council, essentially, when the city wants to move things from account to account, or in this case, from $80 million to the Memphis and Shelby County Sports Authority, which is the technical, you know, owner of this project, so to speak, and will manage this project, this obscure government board. The city council has to vote on that. And so what was really telling, and this is, you know, again, it's why we wrote the story last week about these tours that were happening at FedEx Forum, is there were very few questions from elected officials about A, the mayor's timeline, and B, oh, this $80 million and where it comes from, right? Because $80 million is 10% of the Memphis City general fund, essentially, but it's not general fund dollars, but that's how big this is. But there were just so few questions, and that's probably in part because of these kind of quiet tours that happened over the past couple of weeks.
I got you. All right. Separately, you reported, well, two things having to do with XAI. Last week, you broke the news, or was it earlier this week? I lose track. That
Monday morning.
You're breaking too damn many things, Sam, that XAI had been late on its MLG&W bill, but caught up. That's good. And now the news yesterday was that XAI, in fact, a representative of XAI went in front of city council to discuss this Greywater plant that we've talked about for a long time here, that they want 13 acres to build it. But I gather there was a considerable amount of skepticism, at least according to your story, from the city council.
Yeah. So, you know, first thing is XAI is essentially has committed. Okay. They have committed at this point to build an $80 million Greywater plant that would essentially take the wastewater that you and I and everyone in Memphis generates, right, and turn it into something that can be used for coolant for its supercomputer. Right now, XAI uses a significant amount of fresh water, water that you and I can drink out of our faucet that's being used for this. They use a significant amount, according to their bills, which I have, to cool their supercomputer. Also, very close to them, the Tennessee Valley Authority, which burns a ton of natural gas to provide us and the broader Tennessee Valley Authority region power, okay, uses fresh water to cool its combined cycle plant down right near the XAI supercomputer. What this Greywater facility would do is it would take most of that water use that's now fresh water, that's a non-renewable resource that's, you know, not going to be replenished anytime soon, you know, maybe in the history of mankind, right, depending on how we do things, and use wastewater and replace it, essentially, to save water. Okay, and that's what they're planning on doing in terms of $80 million. And they're going to build this. They're going to spend some cash to buy, you know, 13 acres from the city of Memphis. And the Memphis City Council was not very happy about that yesterday. And we got to back up a little bit and remember that this is the first time XAI has ever had to go to the Memphis City Council for approval. Okay, they have never had any real government approval except entering in a lease for 500 more acres at the economic development with the Economic Development Growth Engine. Okay, so like XAI has essentially gone through this process, getting the permits they need, and then just building full steam ahead. So you've had this massive investment of billions and billions of dollars. And the Memphis City Council is kind of hurt, kind of sore, let's say, about not getting to weigh in on that. Okay, and so yesterday, for the first time, they had an opportunity to weigh in on that. And so they sort of politically, and this, being an observer of the body for a long time, they've done this with a lot of other folks. They exacted that pound of flesh. They delayed the consideration of selling these 13 acres to XAI for a Greywater plant. They essentially said, you're going to spend $80 million in private capital for something the city likely can't afford on its own. City Public Works Director Scott Morgan essentially was very clear to the city council, we could not do this but for them. Okay? And they were like, nope, we're going to wait. And they were just very, very, to a large part, upset with XAI. And that's partly just because of how quickly this project has happened and the distrust of its founder, one of its founders, Elon Musk, the billionaire.
Yeah, it felt like, reading the quotes in your story, there was not much objection whatsoever, even from the environmental folks, to the Greywater plant. Why would there be? It seems like it would actually enhance our ability to be self-sustaining as a community and to not tap the aquifer. It was just frustration over the fact that they had no say over the original decision of XAI to come here to begin with, is what it felt like. Is that, I mean, I guess I'm echoing what you said. That was the impression they left.
Yeah, and that's right. And it can't have helped, I would say, that the report that we put up on Monday that XAI has been slow to pay Memphis Light, Gas, and Water its large electric bills, right? Like, that's probably not the best PR for XAI, right? At the same time, we're talking about electric bills in the hundreds of thousands of dollars that eventually got paid with late fees, I may add, right? That eventually got paid, all right? And then you're talking about $80 million, right? And so you're talking about apples and oranges in terms of money. But those two things, and just also, Elon Musk is not very popular in this town. Not to everyone, you know, he's become a very polarizing figure, but to a certain segment of this community, you know, and you can see it in our comment section, which I'm very hesitant to ever bring up because
it's wade into. Yes, right.
Yeah. but you can see it in our comments section. There was, you know, there's just like, if Elon Musk is doing it, he is Sidney Schlinker 2.0, and this is the pyramid. Okay. Regardless of the fact that the pyramid and this project are very, very different things.
Thank you, Sam. You can read it all at the Daily Memphian. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
That is Sam Hardiman from the proud state of proud citizen or from Rhode Island. The state of Rhode Island is from where he comes. Anyway, we got to take a break. Before then, I'll tell you, if you're selling your house, call Josh Hysaw. Simple as that. 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. If you're like me, you drive around the city and you see the same for sale signs sitting there, sitting there, sitting there, sitting there. And I always want to tell those folks, you know what? That's ridiculous. Why don't they call Josh Hysaw and get their house sold? Aggressive marketer that he is. He's got a plan to sell your house. Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty. If you pop on over to the website, joshhasthebuyers.com, it'll take you a few seconds. You'll find out how much your house is worth. Josh also offers flexible fees, no upfront cost. He'll let you out of your contract at any time. It's Josh Hysaw. Phone number 901-461-8147 or joshhasthebuyers.com. They ought to take a break. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Jeffrey, I think we're running out of time here. What is happening next?
Jeff, here's what's coming next on Jason and John. Norton Hurd will join them today, as will Raheem Palmer during our number one. Cerrito will be with me today on Jeff Wright and Company. CJ Hurt joins us during our number two. Munns and Cobb, as well as Malcolm Butler today on the Gabe Kuhn Show.
Tigers tonight, Grizzlies tonight, trade deadline tomorrow. Don't miss it. We'll be back then for Now Our Work Is Done.